News Radio 1020 KDK. John McIntyre in for Marty Griffin. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday morning. So the political scandals continue to swirl around us. You can't swing a dead cat without a new political scandal coming to the fore. Going to talk more about Roy Moore, the controversial U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama. Momentarily, this from the Washington Post, though. The big idea, says the Post, Republican women who voted for President Trump in North Carolina said during a focus group on Wednesday night, they are embarrassed and exasperated with the president. Annie Anthony, 56 years old, voted for Trump last year because she opposes abortion and did not like how Hillary Clinton handled Benghazi. Now she fears that Trump is marching us toward the war with North Korea. She describes the first 10 months of his presidency as chaotic, stressful, and an uphill battle. While I thought his ideas appealed to me, this is a quote, while I thought his ideas appealed to me, since he's been in there, he's embarrassed me by his behavior, said Ms. Anthony, a divorced college graduate who runs a local nonprofit volunteer center and drives for Uber to make ends meet. Quote, he behaves so unpresidential. The words he uses, the tweeting, I mean, he dresses nice and Melania is looking good. Well, there's that. Melania's looking good, so that takes the edge off. Continuing the quote, when he was away in Asia, he was great at being a president. He's the showman, but here at home, I can't imagine how they let him build a country club, let alone be in one, because adults don't behave that way. I've been surprised that a billionaire would behave the way he has. One person in one focus group, not necessarily indicative of a tidal wave of resentment or anger or disapproval. But in one of the most interesting periods of political history in the history of the country, it is a tiny measuring stick of how people are reacting to this unique and certainly interesting president. Your thoughts at 866-391-1020. We'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. Or you can email me, dollarbankinstantaccess@kdk.com. Roy Moore in Alabama continues to be defiant. He's not going anywhere. He's not going away. He is not history in the archives, a political footnote. He is alive and thriving. He is running for the Republican, or he has achieved the Republican nomination for the United States Senate, and he is running for the Senate. When he gets there, if he gets there, and the polls, some polls have shown that his opponent is beating him by a few points, but the polls are all over the map, and some still show that Mr. Moore could win, and it seems that obviously he could. And that is sending shockwaves throughout the Republican establishment. Mitch McConnell doesn't want him there. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan doesn't want him there. The Republican Party does not want to own "we support accused pedophiles," for they fear it would be disastrous for the long-term health of the party and electability of the party. Coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, Heather Heidelbaugh, who we had on a couple of days ago while I was filling in for Marty Griffin. Noted local Republican political commentator, attorney, feminist, who acknowledged that, yes, of course, there are false accusations, and that's why all of these accusations, to the extent that they can be, must be vetted thoroughly. But that when you take them in their totality and the similarity of the complaints, it doesn't look good. Let's go to the phones. Here is Tom in the North Hills. Hi, Tom.
Hey, I wanted to ask what you thought about the Republican treatment of carried interest in their tax plan.
Tell me about the Republican treatment of carried interest in their tax plan.
Well, what do you think about it? Do you think it should be a positive, or do you think it's a gainer or a loser?
Thank you so much for your call. Kind of off topic. What I think is that the ultimate tax plan has not yet been delivered. In other words, they're still voting on competing plans in the House and the Senate when they go to conference committee, and when the final tax plan is issued, let's see what's what. There are a multitude of critics who are saying this is a giveaway to the rich. They're pointing out that the tax benefits for the middle class expire, according to the Senate current tax plan, in a decade, whereas the corporate tax cuts, according to this plan, go on forever, and asking, what the hell? Why would you take away the benefits from the middle class and keep the benefits for the corporations in a decade or regarding any period of time? Carried interest. Everyone has their focus. So Roy Moore continues to be as defiant as he could possibly be. He is a man on a mission. He is a person who is not to be intimidated by allegations of, now I think it's up to 8 women who are accusing him of, at minimum, arguably unethical, improper advances considering the age difference. And I'm personally not somebody who cares about age difference, but if you are a 14-year-old person, that does obviously come into play. 866-391-1020 if you have any thoughts. 866-391-1020. You can email me if you want to be part of the conversation, but you don't feel like yammering on the radio, at dollarbankinstantaccess@kdka.com. Back at a flash, News Radio 1020, KDKA. News Radio 1020, KDK, John McIntyre in for Marty Griffin. A fairly decent Thursday morning in western Pennsylvania weather-wise. Not bad for the middle of November. Charles Blow, columnist for the New York Times, has written a scathing indictment of some sections of the religious right, who he claims, based on some of their support for Roy Moore, the controversial U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama, are hypocrites. Charles Blow writes, for I could count on one thing. The conservative right was the religious right. That was its branding, if not always its behavior. It was as if the foot soldiers for the conservative right had read only half of the Bible they thumped. They were harsh and vindictive, like God of the Old Testament, not generous and inclusive, like the Jesus of the New Testament. Mr. Blow continues, then there were the hypocrites condemning sexual liberation while being secretly lascivious. Their railing against gays later exposed as a form of gay panic. But now all the pretense of any moral majority and any moral authority has vanished into the very impulses that fed it, says Mr. Blow. Tribal, racial, ethnic anxiety, panic and hostility, patriarchy and sexism, and a perceived threat presented by the full acceptance and inclusion of the LGBT identities. Piety is now postscript, he says. The principle motivation now is anger, fear of cultural displacement, and anxiety about the erosion of privilege and the guarantees it once provided, from physical safety to financial security. You can peg any number of moments, says Mr. Blow, in recent history, when the objective seemed to change for the members of the religious right, where they swallowed all pride and principle to secure power and vent anger. But for me, there is no more glaring than the embrace of Donald Trump, essentially accusing the religious right of hypocrisy, embracing people who arguably definitely have no moral authority and whose concept of morality clearly is not necessarily consistent with the espoused principles of the religious right. Meantime, Roy Moore hangs on. He was banned from a shopping mall. I don't know about you. I've been around the earth for a few decades. I have not always been proud of all of my actions and activities, but not once, as far as I can recollect, have I ever been banned from a shopping mall. Has anyone approached me who is a security official from the mall, or just a retailer, or just a passerby and said to me, "You are deemed sufficiently creepy that you are no longer allowed in this shopping mall." Roy Moore, back in the day, according to published reports, was indeed banned from a shopping mall because he was deemed sufficiently creepy, apparently just hanging around high school girls and attempting to date them. As he put it himself, he never dated a high school girl without permission from her mother. And if that statement isn't sufficient to make you wonder whether or not the word creepy legitimately applies to U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore, then I'm not sure where you're coming from. Love to hear your thoughts and feelings, though. 866-391-1020. We will check in with Heather Heidelbaugh, noted Republican political commentator in the Pittsburgh region, former county counselor, current attorney for one of the big fancy law firms in Pittsburgh. She'll be here at 10 o'clock. And then at 11 o'clock, former Pennsylvania House Minority Whip Mike Vion, a Democrat, will give us his perspective on the current sex scandals swirling around not only the area of politics, but obviously the area of show business and everything in between. It seems that the high-tech industry certainly has had its share of recent scandals involving sexual harassment. Can't swing a dead cat without running into a sexual harassment scandal in the current age in which we live. 866-391-1020. If you'd like to weigh in, let's check traffic on the fives. News Radio 1020, KDK. Sounds good, Mr. Mangino. News Radio 1020, KDK. John McIntyre in for Marty Griffin on the Dollar Bank Instant Access. Kurt writes, "I wonder how long it will take the loyal Trump supporters to realize they have been duped. No new steel mills, no new coal-fired power plants, no decent health care, and no sightings of Joe Paterno on the Penn State sidelines." That obviously referring to when Mr. Trump inexplicably in an appearance in Pittsburgh during the campaign said, "We're going to bring back Joe Paterno." But I believe what he meant was the statue that was removed from the grounds of Penn State. Sally writes, "For Roy Moore, the old saying, 'There is no fool like an old fool,' fits him like a glove." Thank you, Sally. Your thoughts and comments at 866-391-1020. Email me, as these people just did, dollarbankinstantaccess@kdk.com. Here is what I feel like is an underreported story that I'd heard a little bit about, but sort of swept under the carpet, my own personal news carpet, that Tamira, the lovely and talented producer for the Marty Griffin Show, reminded me of this morning, that is underreported and quite shocking, quite amazing. This from CNN. "Two things have become painfully clear on Capitol Hill this week. Lawmakers and staffers say sexual harassment is rampant, but even members of Congress have no idea how widespread it is. The controversial and sensitive issue has taken center stage in Congress this week, with female lawmakers making fresh allegations of sexual harassment against unnamed members who are currently in office, and the unveiling of a new bill on Wednesday to change how sexual harassment complaints are reported and resolved." Mind you, and I'll continue with this CNN story, what we're saying here is that there have been charges of sexual harassment and other charges of nefarious activity against members of Congress, and taxpayers' money has been paid to settle these charges. But we don't know who was accused of what, and hence, obviously, we have no idea whether they were guilty of it or not, or we can't even have an opinion as to whether or not they are guilty of nefarious activities. CNN reports, "So far, there's been little specific data to help illuminate just how pervasive sexual harassment is on Capitol Hill, but one figure has emerged. More than $15 million has been paid out to victims through the Office of Compliance, the office that handles harassment complaints. $15 million, that figure includes all settlements, not just related to sexual harassment, but also discrimination and other cases. CNN has also learned that during the current Congress, no settlement payment approval requests have been made to the congressional committee charged with approving them. But here's what they do know. When was the money paid out? According to a report from the Office of Compliance, more than $15 million has been paid out for settlements over a period of 20 years, 1997 to 2016. How many settlements have there been? Representative Jackie Speier, the California Democrat, who on Wednesday unveiled a bill to reform the OOC, announced at a news conference on Wednesday there have been 260 settlements over this 10-year period. And an aide to the congresswoman confirmed that those settlements represent the number reached over a period, I'm sorry, of 20 years, actually. 866-391-1020, we're talking about Roy Moore and also about $15 million over a 20-year period paid out to various people who have claimed sexual harassment or discrimination or other accusations of unlawful and or scandalous activity by the members of Congress. Yet we don't know what it's about, who did it, who allegedly did it, what behavior they're accused of. Congress notoriously over decades, if not generations, has been conspicuously quiet about what nefarious activities they may have been guilty of, and often passes legislation and or promulgates rules that allows secrecy to prevail. Here's Bob in Peters Township with some thoughts on the Roy Moore developing story. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning. Yes, speaking of Roy Moore, what I would like to say this morning, yes, if Roy wins out of election in Alabama, because Roy Moore is going to be the first senator to be on a no-fly list at the local mall. Then the other thing I'd like to say, okay, this morning with that, like, all right, the people who I would like to, you know, speak with on your radio station this morning, like, or hear from, rather, like, is evangelicals, and, yeah, for them to explain to me why are you standing up, like, in front of this man, what's taken for this man, and why are you just doing it? Because why are you standing up for a guy, you know, goes to, let's some malls, Watek tries to pick up 14-year-old girls? That's what I can't understand. Because, right, evangelicals are supposed to be peoples of the Bible, but yet they're standing up for this guy. Why? Why?
Excellent question, Bob. Thanks so much for your call. Yes, the evangelical community has been taking some hits under accusations of hypocrisy. And the question is, have we become so tribal? We're either for and against a person totally based on their political beliefs, regardless of their personal behavior, that we'd rather have a pedophile as opposed to a member of an opposition political party, because politics is all that matters and pedophilia, well, you just sweep that under the rug. Meantime, on the question of $15 million paid out over 20 years to settle various complaints against Congress people, Congress humans, members of Congress, I'm sure mostly, if not exclusively, men, what do these settlements tell us about the scope of the sexual harassment problem on Capitol Hill? CNN asks the question. It is unclear how much of the $15 million is money paid to sexual harassment cases, because of the Office of Compliance's complex reporting process. However, even knowing that dollar figure doesn't quantify the problem, says CNN. A source within the Office of Compliance tells CNN that between 40 and 50% of harassment claims settle after mediation, an early stage in the multi-tiered reporting process. But just the fact that there are any allegations of sexual harassment, some of which are settled with taxpayers' money, possibly getting into the millions of dollars, according to the CNN report, is maybe not surprising, but a little bit shocking, since we didn't know about it before, at least in my view. Your thoughts and feelings at 866-391-1020. Tom in Upper Burl, we'll get to your call on the other side. News Radio 1020, KDK. News Radio 1020, KDK, John McIntyre, voicing over the music of the incredible progressive rock band Yes, recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. On the Dollar Bank Instant Access, Ed says the reason evangelicals support Roy Moore is simple. He has an R next to his name. Thanks for that analysis, Ed. Here's Tom in Upper Burl. Hi, Tom.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, to Ed, At the time that the accusations were made against Roy Moore, he was actually a Democrat, I believe, until 1992. But that's besides the point. I'm a Christian, not evangelical, but in my opinion, you don't put a man on trial, convict him in the newspaper or on television. I mean, the guy deserves to stay in court, and obviously he's not going to go to court. But like I said, who's ever anybody else to judge what really happened? I mean, I don't know what happened.
I hear what you're saying, Tom, and you weren't the first person to express that. Some people just think, well, what's the deal with 30 or 40 years later? You know, why didn't they come out earlier?
Yeah, I mean, if it's true, then of course he should, you know, he should resign from running for Senate. I mean, come on, you're already convicting him and, you know, throwing the guy away. And also, too, I would like to learn more about the hush money payments that, you know, Congress has been paying with taxpayer money.
Yeah, I'd love to know more about that. Isn't that ridiculous? That's amazing.
Yeah, and I actually Googled it last night, but nothing came up. So maybe I'll try it again since I heard it on your show.
All right. Knock yourself out. Thanks so much for your call. Yeah, you know, it is a tough situation in the sense that you're right. To a degree, he's been convicted in the court of public opinion. And he may lose the election as a result. Although, don't count Alabama fanatics who love themselves some Republicans regardless of their history, yet he could still win. But because we can't prove it beyond the shadow of a doubt or in a court of law, even if you believe that he's guilty because of the preponderance of, I don't want to say evidence, the preponderance of accusations and how they are similar in nature, it is a sticky situation, obviously, and a tricky situation because since we can't know for sure, we have to just make up our minds. But we can't just, I mean, when allegations of this kind of a serious nature are made and repeatedly by several different people, it is difficult to ignore. This from the Washington Post, Gina Richardson says she was a high school senior working in the men's department of Sears at the Gadsden Mall when a man approached her and introduced himself as Roy Moore. This is in Birmingham, Alabama. He said, "You can just call me Roy," who says this first encounter happened in the fall of 1977, just before her 18th birthday, as more than a 30-year-old local attorney was gaining a reputation for pursuing young women at the mall in Gadsden, Alabama. His overtures caused one store manager to tell new hires, "Watch out for this guy," another young woman to complain to her supervisor, and Richardson to eventually hide from him when he came into Sears, according to the women interviewed for the story. Richardson says Moore, now a candidate for U.S. Senate, asked her where she went to school and then for her phone number, which she says she declined to give, telling him that her father, a Southern Baptist preacher, would never approve. A few days later, she says she was in trigonometry class at Gadsden High School. When she was summoned to the principal's office over the intercom in her classroom, she had a phone call. "I said, hello," Richardson recalls, and the male on the other end said, "Gina, this is Roy Moore." I was like, "What?" He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm in trig class." Richardson says Moore asked her out again on the call. A few days later, he asked her out at Sears. She relented and agreed, feeling both nervous and flattered. They met that night at a movie theater in the mall after she got off work, a date that ended with Moore driving her to her car in a dark parking lot behind Sears and giving her what she called an unwanted, forceful kiss that left her scared. Your thoughts and feelings at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020, or you can email me, dollarbankinstantaccess@kdk.com. "I never wanted to see him again," said Richardson, who is now 58 and a community college teacher living in Birmingham. She describes herself as a moderate Republican, says she didn't vote in the 2016 general election or in this year's Republican Senate primary in Alabama. Moore's campaign did not directly address the new allegations, reports the Washington Post in a statement. A campaign spokesperson cast the growing number of allegations against Moore as politically motivated. "If you're a liberal and hate Judge Moore, apparently he groped you," the statement said. "If you are a conservative and love Judge Moore, you know these allegations are a political farce," end of quotation. John McIntyre in for Marty Griffin. Let's go to the phones. Here is Nicholas, I believe. Hi, Nicholas.
Hello. Good morning to you, John. John, there's a phrase in French literature. I think it was written by Jean-Paul Sartre. He wrote the phrase, j'accuse. It's also in rock and roll history, but I want to know why that phrase is important in today's times.
You want to know that?
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck with your search. Here's Jim in Elwood City. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. How about yourself?
You know, to the people that say, why didn't these kids say something, you know, 30 years ago? You know, could you imagine a 17-year-old back then saying something about a district attorney, one? Number two, it's just like a battered woman that people say, why didn't she say something all these years? And the moment she does say something or files for a divorce, they, you know, is when the trouble happens. So there's a lot of fear. And what would be a better time, actually, than to say it right now, man, and get some at least satisfaction out of it.
Yeah, and somebody might believe you now, whereas maybe they wouldn't have back in the day.
Exactly, man. And it takes a lot of courage, you know. Now they're a 55-year-old woman, and they're at that point in their life where they can say these things.
Jim, thanks so much for your call. Let's check traffic on the fives. News Radio 1020, KDKA. News Radio 1020, KDKA. John McIntyre in for Marty Griffin. We'll get to Nick in Bell Vernon if you can hang on through the top of the hour newscast. Plus, we'll converse with GOP political analyst extraordinaire Heather Heidelbaugh on the other side. News Radio 1020, KDKA.